Last week, I broke up with my boyfriend, whom I dated for 3 years. Even though we weren't separated, I remained in touch with him as a friend. He's a nice guy, but I just felt it wasn't working between us anymore. My best friend, Tina, suggested me to start casual dating again. She said it will help to get over this breakup. To be honest, last 3 years I hardly went out with new people or socialized that bit. Speaking about casual dating, no app is appropriate than Tinder. At least that's what I used to believe. One evening after coming home from work, I sat down on my bed and registered on Tinder. After going through some guy's profile, I got bored for not finding a good match and eventually dozed off. The next day, I went back to work when my friend Tina called me. Tina said, "Jill, you know what happened this morning? Tom called me and asked me how you were doing. I kind of told him that you were back to Tinder again, to kind of give him the idea that you have moved on. I hope that wasn't too much from my side, right?" Tina has always been like this, taking things on her own hand all the time. I expected something like this already, so I replied with an upset face, "Yeah, I will handle it. Bye," and disconnected the phone. I called Tom that night and apologized on Tina's behalf. Tom has always been nice to me. He said in a mature tone, "It's okay, Jill. I got your signal. I wish you the best. But whenever you need, don't hesitate to contact me. Take care." I felt bad for him, but his sense of understanding made me admire him too. Few days passed, and I went on with my life. I started going out with my friends, and sometimes with their mutual friends, for a drink or movies. One Sunday afternoon, I was chilling in my room when I received a request from a guy on Tinder. I opened his profile and started to check out his pictures. The guy wasn't that handsome, but he had a friendly face. I accepted his request, and we started chatting on Tinder. His name was Mark. He said he works in a department store close to my location. We kind of hit it off. It seemed we had quite similar tastes in music and food. Mark asked me out for a lunch date. We decided to meet the next day at a local restaurant. I reached the restaurant 5 minutes late and noticed Mark sitting at a corner table smiling at me. He seemed attractive in real life. He had a good height and charming nature. His flirtatious nature was a bit edgy for a first date, but somehow I enjoyed his fresh attention after a long time. The date went well, and we decided to meet again sometime. Mark started texting me regularly, and I too kept responding. One day, we were talking over the phone, as usual, when Mark asked me, "So, are you in a relationship right now?" I replied in an awkward tone, "Well, if I was, I wouldn't be talking to you all this time," and laughed a bit to loosen up the conversation. Mark didn't respond to my joking tone and said, "Love has become a joke these days, you know. You can hardly trust people." I realized he might have been through a really bad breakup, but I chose to stay out of his personal affairs. With more days passing, Mark always tried to slip into our conversations and how heartbreak is the worst thing to do to anyone. I felt bad for him, but we kind of came a bit close. One day, Mark asked me to go on a dinner date with him. He came to pick me up from my house. As I got into his car, I could smell booze on him. He didn't look drunk, but he told me he went for a few drinks earlier. It didn't worry me, because he was on his best behavior so far. He was driving carefully too. Around 9 p.m, we reached the restaurant. We sat down and ordered the food. Mark said while smirking at me, "Hope you won't mind if I order some drinks." I actually didn't mind because it was good to see him having fun. Not a single time he talked about relationship issues. Instead, he was very much flirting with me. I was blushing with his compliments. He drank 4 pegs of whiskey in just half an hour. Finally, I got a little bit worried and said, "You have to drive also. Don't forget that." Mark looked at me, his eyes got stuck at mine. The way he stared suddenly creeped me out. Then he said, "Jill, I really like you. I would like to take you home after dinner." It has been quite a while I am going out with him, so I kind of wanted to get close to him, but seeing him getting so drunk, I wasn't feeling that sure. I fumbled and said, how far is your place? He replied, not that far. Come on, let's go. I couldn't say no to him, even though his sudden behavior change seemed unusual to me. He got into his car and started the engine. The roads were empty. He started to speed up the car. I got scared and said, Mark, please drive slowly. You're scaring me. He looked at me and then started to chuckle, as if I said something very stupid. After leaving the town, we got onto a dusty road. I said, I didn't know you live in the outskirts. How far now? Mark replied in a low but firm voice, almost near. We reached in front of a wooden house after 10 minutes. The house appeared quite old and out of maintenance to me. The entire house was in darkness. We got down from the car and Mark said in a mocking voice, welcome to Lion's Den, and started to chuckle in the same manner. I thought it was all because of the alcohol in his stomach. As we got inside, Mark switched on the light. The house was really old. I could see a layer of dust on the couch and furniture in the living room. He took me upstairs. There was a bedroom and bathroom upstairs. The bedroom also appeared unclean and smelly. It felt like no one had cleaned the room for a while. Mark told me to sit on the bed and went to the kitchen. I waited for a few seconds when suddenly I saw something shining under the pillow. As I lifted the pillow, my heart sunk in horror. There was a sharp knife under it. I immediately got up and tiptoed to the kitchen. As I peeked inside, I saw Mark mixing something into a glass of wine. Is this guy planning to drug me and then slit my throat? Oh God, I made a huge mistake. I was out of the idea. There was no way I could get out of this house because Mark locked the door using his house key. It felt strange for me then, but I didn't care about it earlier. God, how stupid am I? I said to myself. Mark lifted two glasses on his hand and started walking towards the bedroom. I already came to the bedroom before he could realize that I had understood his vicious plan. He got inside and looked at me with his wide eyes and smiled. His face was looking all evil. He then said, in a spine-chilling, cold voice, here's your drink, Joe. Enjoy. I knew there's no way I can fight this guy and get out of this house alive. So a plan came to mind. I said, thanks. Hey, can I use your bathroom for a sec? Mark replied, of course, but don't make me wait too long, and smirked at me. I got up and went to the bathroom. As soon as I locked the bathroom door, I dialed my ex-boyfriend, Tom. He picked up the phone and said, what a surprise, Jill. So what's... But before he could finish, I replied in a broken but low voice, please help me. This guy is trying to kill me. I need your help, Tom. And started whimpering. Tom replied in a panicked voice, oh shit, where are you? Share me your location. I shared with him my live location, and Tom said, listen, Jill, just hold on for some time. I am coming there as fast as possible. I stood inside the bathroom like a statue. I was completely freaked out and paranoid. Suddenly, a knock appeared on the bathroom door. I heard Mark's voice. Jill, did you take something that is mine? Mark said. My hands turned cold. Oh my God, this guy now knows. He hasn't figured out that I've taken his knife with me. Mark started to bang on the door. Come on out, doll. I have planned a romantic night for us. Don't make me force you. The bathroom door was made of half glass and half wood. Hence, I could see Mark's figure leaning on the glass. He almost stuck his entire face on the glass and said, Jill, don't make me force you. Come out and give me my knife back. I started screaming and crying, please let me go. But what Mark did next shook me from the inside. He started banging on the glass with his head. Cracks started to appear on it, and blood splattered on the glass too. He was hitting the glass like a maniac, with his head screaming, open, open now. Suddenly, I saw Tom calling me. I picked up the call and Tom said, I'm here, where are you? I was in no position to explain further. I rushed to the bathroom window and luckily it was open. Without giving it a second thought, I jumped. I hurt my ankle but I saw Tom standing in his car on the road. I sprinted to him and got inside his car. I screamed with the top of my lungs, "Drive, Tom, drive now." He drove the car away, and that night I took sleeping pills to sleep. Tom stayed back with me. It's been a few days since this incident. Last night, we sorted things out and are back together again. I can't trust any unknown guy anymore. Tom is taking a shower right now in my bathroom. But suddenly, a text has come to his phone. Reply from an unknown number. The text reads, "Got the payment, thanks." It is a reply to a text that Tom sent to this number. Tom has texted this number last night. "Got her back. Thanks for all the help. Sent you the money." I am Noah. Last year, I opened up to my parents about my sexual orientation by letting them know that I am gay. I consider myself lucky enough, as my parents supported me. I am currently 24 years old and working for a software company. I recently dated a guy for a couple of months, but somehow, we both decided to call it off as it wasn't working the way we expected it to be. So, for casual dating, I started using Tinder. After 2 to 3 days of searches and left swipes, I got matched with a guy by the profile name Leo the Wolf. People these days use many weird names to get followers on social media. The profile picture was of a tall, good-looking guy. We accidentally came out to be a match, and this is how we started talking. The guy told me that his name is Leo, and he works in a garage as a car mechanic. The more we talked, I realized he is charming, and he too came out about his sexuality last year to his mother. But his mom cut off all contacts with him after hearing this. I felt pretty bad for the guy, because some people in the world still think being gay is some kind of disease, whereas it's just another expression of love and choice. Anyway, we talked for a few days, and every time he brought up how bad he felt about his mother's behavior, I always supported him and tried to encourage him to accept his true self. One day, I told him that we should catch up sometime. I thought he would be excited to meet me, but his response kind of surprised me. We were on a call when I asked him this, and he replied, well, I believe I still need some time. If you don't mind, we can wait for some more days." I immediately understood his discomfort and said, "Oh, sure. No issues. Take your time." A week passed by, and we kept talking like usual. One night, I was coming home from a friend's house. I was walking from the sidewalk, and there were very few people on the story. It was already late, so I was walking fast to reach home as early as possible. It was a moonlit night, and crickets were chirping in the distance. I was about to take the turn leading to my house when I felt someone was following me. I immediately turned back and saw a man wearing a hoodie standing in the middle of the road a few hands distance from me. Due to his hoodie, I couldn't see his entire face. The only thing I could see was his mouth. He constantly licked his lips in a very weird manner. I was almost near my house, so I decided to walk really fast by avoiding this man. As soon as I reached the door, I looked back again, but that man wasn't there. I got inside the house and sat on the couch for a while. To be honest, the look on the man's face kind of creeped me out. After dinner, I went to bed when Leo texted me, asking how was my day. I told him about this creepy guy following me home. He too replied that it was really bizarre and that I should have said something to that freak. At that point, I felt a little bit embarrassed for getting freaked out so easily. I decided that if I ever saw that guy again, I will teach him a lesson. I was tired, hence I fell asleep easily. The next morning when I woke up and went to check my mailbox outside, I found a letter inside the box. As I opened the letter after coming inside the house, my heart drowned in horror. The letter read, "Next time, when I will see you again, you won't be going home alive." I was sure this was from the creepy asshole of last night. My mind was awfully disturbed the whole day. I decided to go to the cops with the letter before going home that night. I thought before the guy tries to harm me in any way, I should go to the police and ask for protection. As I came out of the office, I received a call from Leo. He said, "Hey, where are you?" I told him about the entire matter and said that I am going to the police station. Leo told me, "Oh my god, can't believe that creepy dude will have such audacity. Anyways, as you will be going to police station, then I will cancel the plan tonight." I asked, "What plan?" He said in a shy voice, "Actually, I thought I should invite you for dinner tonight. I am ready to take whatever we share to the next level." That moment, I could really use some good talks and a dinner with a friend, so I said, "Okay, I can come. This will actually give me some peace of mind." Leo laughed caringly and said, "Why don't you just come to my place and have dinner? Then we will go to the cops together, if you don't mind me accompanying you." I was really happy to see his kind gesture. I immediately agreed to meet him for dinner. He gave his house address, which was quite close to my workplace. I took a cab and reached his house within 15 minutes. Leo was standing at the door. He smiled at me and welcomed me into the house. He was good looking and quite a smiley face. I sat down on his couch. He gave me a glass of wine and we started to talk. I told him about my life and family, while he shared some funny incidents too. We finished the first glass of wine and he poured me another one. Then he said, "What does this man look like?" I took a few sips of wine and said, "Well, I didn't see his face, but he was licking his lips in a very weird way." Before I could go on that incident from last night, a true horror unleashed in front of my eyes. Leo smiled and said by interrupting me, "You mean like this?" Then he started to lick his lips in the same way that the man did last night. I got up with sweats appearing on my forehead. I fumbled in terror. "Oh my god, it was you. You tricked me." I was about to run to the door, but my legs felt heavy and my eyes started to close slowly. I realized he drugged me with the wine, but before I could do anything, I fainted on the floor. When I woke up, I found myself lying on the floor. My hands and legs were tied with ropes. Leo was standing in front of me with blood-red eyes. There was a sharp knife in his hand. He grinned at me with angry eyes and said, "I told you, you wouldn't be going home alive tonight." I said in a panicked voice, "But why are you doing this? Why do you want to kill me?" He licked his lips and said, "My mom died with the shock when my brother came out about his sick sexuality. I lost her for people like you. You guys are sick." By the time he was saying all these insane things to me, I managed to free my hand, but still kept sitting there quietly. I don't know why suddenly my parents' face flashed in front of my eyes, and I got back my courage. Leo screamed and said, "I will kill every single one of you." He started to walk towards me with the knife, but then I said in a firm voice, "If anyone is sick in this world, that is you, you psycho." The next few moments struck like lightning. He jumped on me, making a devilish scream. "Nah, I will kill you, you bloody..." But before he could stab me, I kicked him in his chest and he fell on his back. Without wasting a single second, I picked up the metal flower vase from the table near the couch and bashed his head with it. Blood started to flow from his forehead as he fainted. I handed him over to the cops that night and came home afterward. He is now rotting in jail for a charge of attempt to murder. Surprisingly, after this case came to the local newspaper, a high school boy came to the cops, reporting that the same man tried to lure him into his house. The boy was shy back then to open up about his sexuality, so even though this bastard tried to assault and kill him, the boy didn't go to the police. He somehow managed to escape. To all those creepy retards like this guy, I want to make it clear. No one holds the right to tell a person how to lead their life and whom to love. So, crazy, homophobic psycho, pray to God that we never meet again. Because if we do, this time, you won't get out of the encounter alive. I am 23 years old and recently shifted to Seattle looking for a job. I have been an outgoing person, But what happened 3 days back has traumatized me for life. I met a girl named Jenny on Tinder. Jenny said she is 20 years old and currently working in Walmart to save for her college education. Being an independent person myself, I kind of started liking her. We texted almost all the time possible. I too got a job in a retail company. Things were taking a good turn, so one day I asked Jenny out. Jenny gave me an address of a coffee shop and reached there on time. I sat down near a big glass window facing the street. I was scrolling through my phone, waiting for Jenny, just when a weird feeling grabbed my heart. I felt like someone was secretly watching me. I immediately glanced at the street. The street was filled with people walking by, so it was hard to spot anyone in particular. I thought it was all in my head, so I ignored it. But within a few seconds, I felt like I was being watched again. Now, this time, I suddenly looked and saw someone quickly went behind the streetlight on the other side of the road. My eyes kept searching the streets when just the coffee shop door opened and Jenny entered. She came to my table and said, "Are you looking for me?" and started to laugh. I awkwardly smiled and didn't tell her about this weird incident. We started to talk and I had a really nice time with her. We came close and Jenny often crashed at my place after work. Sometimes I noticed Jenny getting lost in her thoughts. One evening, we went to watch a movie, but halfway through the movie, she suddenly got up and said, "I want to go home." I thought she was feeling sick or something, so I got into the car and took her to my place. I asked her after reaching home, "What happened, Jen? Are you feeling sick?" She looked at me with a pissed face and replied, "Yeah, sick of you checking out the actress like I wasn't even there." I laughed a bit, seeing her possessiveness over a movie. At first, it appeared cute to me that she values me so much. I made her dinner that night and sorted things out. But as time passed, I realized there is something very wrong with this girl. One night, I went out with two of my office colleagues for a couple of drinks. Jenny wanted to come over that night, but I told her I have other plans, so I will see her tomorrow. I came back home at around 11 p.m. I was feeling very drunk, so I went to my room and threw myself on the bed. Don't remember how long I slept, but suddenly I felt there is something different happening in my house. I can't explain that feeling, but it scared me all of a sudden. I slowly opened my eyes, and as I looked at the bedroom door, my heart flunked to my throat. I hardly locked my bedroom door, so the door was half open already. But the door wasn't the only thing that caught my eyes. I saw Jenny. Yes, she was standing there and watching me with her very creepy wide eyes. I kind of gasped and woke up in a shiver. "What the? Oh my god, Jen, you scared me." She started laughing as if what she did was something very funny. She then slowly came to my bed and cuddled me and fell asleep. I fell asleep again and decided to talk to her about this matter in the morning. When I woke up in the morning, I realized Jen was gone. I immediately called her and said, "Jen, what were you doing last night at my house?" I was going to tell her how I don't like people sneaking into my house behind my back, but she replied, sealing my mouth. Jenny said, "What do you mean, Bob? I stayed with my mom last night. You told me you have other plans, so I made my own plans too. Are you sure it was me?" Now, this question freaked me out. I fumbled, "But you were there. You were watching me sleep." Jenny laughed in the same manner and said, "Oh, my dear Bobby, you must have dreamt about me. I told you, you will miss me when I'm not around. Meet me in the evening." And she disconnected the phone. I couldn't concentrate on my work that entire day. All I was thinking was how real all of it was. I almost felt her touch while she slept beside me all night. Then I thought maybe I was too drunk, and I actually imagined all that. A few days later, I took Jenny to that same coffee shop where we met for the first time. We were talking while a colleague of mine named Pamela entered the shop. She came in, and I introduced her to Jenny. Jenny smiled at her, and after spending some time at the coffee shop, we came home. It was a Sunday, so I told Jenny to stay over. I was making fries in the kitchen. As I turned back, I saw Jenny standing behind me with an expressionless face. I obviously got startled a bit and said, "My God, Jen, when will you stop doing this?" She replied, "Doing what?" I said, "How long were you standing there? It's kind of creepy, you know." I don't know what I said, but she suddenly turned all furious and replied, "What's the deal with Pamela?" I wasn't expecting this question at all, because Pamela talked to us for hardly a minute. I said with surprised eyes, "Geez, Jen, you are overthinking it now. We just worked together and it was a coincidence that we came across today." Jenny rushed to me and started screaming at my face. "Oh really? Do you think I don't see you? I watched you sitting in the cafe all busy on your phone. Maybe you texted her to come there." I was completely shocked by hearing this. I replied in an annoyed tone, "That means, do you watch me secretly? That night wasn't a dream at all. Fuck, Jenny, you are a freak, man." Next, what happened was beyond my expectations. Jenny screamed in her squeaky voice and lifted the hot pan from the stove. Before I could do anything, a warm metal hit my head so hard that I fainted on the ground, screaming in pain. When I woke up, it took me some time to realize where I was. My head felt heavy. I found myself tied up inside a bedroom cupboard. Jenny tied both my legs and hands and dumped me inside my own cupboard. She also taped my mouth so that I can't scream. I was finding a way out just when a voice came to my ear. "Where is Bob? Is he okay?" I was sure it was Pamela's voice. I thought to myself, "What the hell is she doing in my house?" But then I heard Jenny's voice too. She was speaking to Pamela like nothing happened all this time. Then I saw both of them enter my room. Jenny said, "Bob talks a lot about you. I guess you guys are really close, huh?" Pamela was sitting on my bed while Jenny was standing in front of the cupboard door. Pamela replied in an awkward voice, "Yeah, he is a good friend. So where is he? You guys said you need my help. What's going on?" My eyes widened in horror because I could see the upcoming danger. Jenny was holding a kitchen knife in her hand. Her knife was hidden behind her, so there was no way Pamela could see this coming. I got terrified, thinking all this time I was dating a freaking psycho. Now she wants to kill Pamela too, just because I talked to her this morning. I immediately tried to free myself with all my strength. Obviously, it ended up making thuds inside the closet. Pamela got up and said, "What's that sound?" Jenny said in a spine-chilling voice, "I think it's coming from the closet. Why don't you check it, Pamela?" Pamela didn't realize what was going to happen next, and she walked towards the closet. As she opened the closet door and saw me bleeding from my head and tied up like a captive, she gasped in horror and turned back. Jenny was holding the knife above her and started laughing like a maniac. But by this time, I already freed up my hands, and as Jenny went to strike Pamela with the knife, I came in between, and she stabbed my arm instead. I screamed in pain, but before she could do anything more violent, I knocked her out. I know I should not have hit a girl, but that's the only way I could stop her from killing me and Pamela at that moment. The cops came, and so did the paramedics. I was rushed to the hospital. I bled a lot, and got 6 stitches on my arm, and 3 on my forehead. Pamela told the cops everything about how Jenny tricked her to come to my house. The cops arrested Jenny. Yesterday, I got a call from them. They said that Jenny has been put in a mental institution. I probably punched her real hard, due to which she is having short-term memory loss for the time being. I asked them to have informed her family or not, but the cops told me her parents died long ago. I felt sorry for her and was thinking about visiting her, so I asked them, "How is she doing now?" They told me she talks to herself and laughs on her own, but sometimes she calls the doctor by my name and says, "Don't worry, Bobby, I will see you again. I like watching you sleep."